We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, here just in front of 9:30. Mayor Mike Dodson and City Manager Ron Feer joining us here as the City Commission meets 7 o'clock tonight. And, of course, there are a number of ways you can consume those meetings. You can go to them at City Hall, or you can stream them live on their website, cityofmhk.com/TV, or Cox Cable Channel 3, and on the city's Facebook page. A number of ways to stay informed on what's going on in your city government. And another item here on the general agenda tonight, which I skipped over, is item C, and that is the first reading of an ordinance amending an Article 4, Section 4-205 C5, Highway Service Commercial District of the Manhattan Zoning Regulations. This is for a church to add a daycare, as I understand.
It is, and the Living Word Church is located at 2711 Amherst Avenue. That's just east of our Station 3 fire station, and it's an area where is classified currently zone C5 for a commercial district, and currently that district has a special conditional use for daycares in that area. What we're recommending is to go ahead and go forward with the text change. The new uniform development ordinance is going to make a change to allow daycare in these districts, and we're just that process won't be done until about middle of next year. So in order to versus put them through that conditional use process, we felt like the text change to allow the use now in that C5 district was appropriate, since that's going to be the recommendation going forward with the new ordinance and subdivision regulations. So we do recommend that the text change be made to allow for daycares in that C5 commercial district.
Okay.
And I think, as everybody recognizes, daycare is a tough one in Manhattan. We've tried real hard over the years to make daycare both available and affordable. I know when I was out at Fort Riley, this is a problem. You know, I mean, trying to find facilities, trying to find people to operate the facilities, and then trying to meet the regulations that continue to change from time to time coming down from the federal level. And that makes, you know, there's kind of this balance between making sure you have the right people to take care of the kids properly, and then being able to afford to pay for those, finding those people. That's always been a tough balance, but we appreciate the churches taking this on in particular, because around Manhattan, that's where a lot of our daycare comes from. So this is another example of them stepping up to do this, and we're trying to find at the same time best use for all these facilities. That's a big, as you know, that's the old theater there, and a lot of space in there, and so hopefully we'll get that thing to the best use capability over the coming year or two.
All right. As I understand, we have a caller waiting patiently. I'll get to them next. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Hi, good morning, Jim, and how is everybody doing today?
Very good, thank you.
Yes, sir, I really appreciate y'all's service coming on the radio and letting the public know what's going on in the area. I have a couple quick questions, and I'll let you respond. Number one is this little small thorn in our side over here on Hayes Drive. I've called in before, and I'm just wondering, do you think we'll beat the bad weather, or do you think that might drag into springtime? And the other question is, what is going on in the shopping center back over in the corner over there at 3001 Anderson, I think it is? Thank you.
Sure. So on the Hayes Drive sanitary sewer line repair, where we had the sinkhole, that's progressing well. I'm hopeful that we will have the underground work complete before Christmas, and then we'll still have to do some road repair work there, but which we'll be able to do. The challenge has been basically we had to run an entire new, it's a 3-foot diameter interceptor main. It's about 20 feet deep. With the high water tables we continue to have, you know, one, I guess a good side note here is that Tuttle Creek's still releasing about 12 to 14,000 CFS, which is keeping those water tables high. The river levels influence those groundwater levels, and But the good news is I think we're down in the 1080 elevation, so we're really getting close to back that conservation pool of 1075, which I think will make all of us feel a lot better about that. But I believe most of we had to lay a new parallel line from the damage line, and that is nearly complete, and they're working on those tie-ins to tie that new line back in to the existing part. So just about, and in order to make that repair, we had to put in two dewatering wells, and that's what you see, those pipes, those white pipes that are laying on top of the ground, and they actually go over ground there on the north side of the parking lot and behind Verizon and north of Staples there and Chick-fil-A, and so they go into a manhole and are going down in the ditch. So that's just groundwater we're pumping the elevation down so we can actually, the contractor can get at and make those repairs. And so that's been a real challenge for us, but that seems to be going very well. And so once we get those tie-ins back in and everything's tested and holding together well, we'll be able to cover all that back up. And then we've got repairs to make to the roadway and obviously to the parking lot there. And I guess we were fortunate that that was one of the locations that it happened, although it certainly has been disruptive to travel on Levee Drive. So we're anxious about that. I'm not real sure. I think you're...
Must be the Samurai property.
Probably so. Yeah. So we had given a deadline for the Village West back in that far corner that's been vacant and flood damaged for that owner to repair and or make that area safe. And there hasn't been much activity. I think there has been a little bit of salvage work maybe continuing, but that particular owner is under order to either make repairs and make that area safe and get rid of the contamination occurs there, or be subject to the city coming in and more than likely demolishing that. So that is expired, and it's my understanding that there hasn't really been much work on the repair side, but there has been, I believe, maybe some salvage work that's been done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we took this on some time ago, and I think back maybe in the latter part of October, we granted an extension to the owner to repair or demolish by 1 December, if I remember right. So we'll probably need to talk about that a little bit, get their update at our 5:30 session before the legislative agenda and kind of see what the status of that is. And but obviously if the conditions that we set in late October aren't satisfied, then we'll have to go ahead with the requirements that the city has set under ordinance and demolish.
Yeah, and of course that property is in a prime location for flooding the way it is now. I know there was another option of possibly maybe that it could be raised up a little bit here if you wanted to have something on that property.
Right. It could be flood-proofed, which wouldn't necessarily constitute having to raise it, but it could be very expensive because that you have to put in special doors and windows and other things that seal. Now, obviously, the flooding that happened in Labor Day of 2018 had on that far south end, the water was up to the roof line. So there was some substantial flood proofing that would be required in order to particularly salvage that, and would be very expensive. Whether or not you could build a flood wall is debatable. With regard to that type of aspect, but certainly there could be some options for reuse there if that building's no longer there.
You can imagine the physics involved. If you tried to seal the building up to 8 feet to meet the eave, then you've got basically a bubble inside, and the structure begins to float. So that's problematic. And then, as Ron said, trying to build some kind of a levee structure, you have to go back to the west a long, long ways and then kind of hook up somewhere, because you don't, if the water comes in and goes north of that levee structure, you have the same problem. So that whole area is pretty low down there. So arguably, you may have to go all the way out almost a scenic drive to fix it.
And I think, so the question obviously comes up, how were they able to build there in the first place? Mm-hmm. And so when that was constructed originally, there were the floodplain maps were not as detailed and accurate at the time. And so that area was not in the floodplain. But after the area has had some repetitive flooding, nothing like what happened in 2018. 2018, you know, previously, prior to the 2018 flash flooding that occurred in the Wildcat Valley, I think the highest level had been on about 3 feet maybe on that far southern building. And then most of that was from backwater that came through the storm sewer pipes under the highway. So we had actually done an improvement to put a flapper gate on that system. And the morning of that flood, I checked that and on the way to the EOC and Emergency Operations Center, and that was all holding very well. So it was first time it came up and over the old railroad bed. And so it was certainly catastrophic flooding that occurred in that to a greater extent than ever developed before. And so when the floodplain maps were rebuilt, it recognized the 3 foot elevation flood that had occurred. And so that expanded that floodplain into that particular area.
So Labor Day was pretty much, the Labor Day of 2018 was pretty much a worst case scenario.
It really was. Yeah, it was a greater than 500 year event.
And if I remember right, on the other side of Seth Child there in Garden Way, you guys recently obtained some easements, I think, over there. And
so actually we did some buyouts. We've done some flood mitigation work on Garden Way, and we did purchased a 12-unit apartment complex in three different buildings. And I think those have been – I know we've awarded contract for demolition. I'm not sure that – I think they've been done exactly. And then if we're – purchasing programs through the flood mitigation program, then we have to maintain that remnant property. We actually purchase the property, and then we maintain it for as green space and can never be developed again structurally. In the case of the what the gentleman called about, all as we're doing is we're not purchasing the property. We're just requiring the owner to mitigate the health hazards that exist on that property and make it safe. Or in the alternative, we will demolish the structure ourselves, but the remnant property will still be in the owner's care to potentially develop and or redevelop.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that.
Sure.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more in focus after this on News Radio KMAN.